In today's Mishnah, we're in the eighth and final Mishnah, the third parak, Masechta Sanhedrin, and then we'll begin the fourth parak. Mishnah begins, Kol Zman Shemivi Raya, meaning after Gemar Din, after the case has been concluded, if one of the parties who was the case seemed to go against, if he brought any proof that wasn't available to him prior to that, so he brings extra documents or he brings witnesses that seem to support his case, then would still be able to soter at din, would be able to undo the original judgment. Amar lo, if Beit Din, the way Tiferet Yisrael explains it, if they saw a particular need to say to the parties after they've made their ruling, Kol Rayot Shesh Lecha Havemi Kan Ad Shloshim Yom, that you have a 30-day time limit now to provide any further evidence in order to undo our judgment, then Matzah B'toch Shloshim Yom, if they find it within 30 days, that's fine, soter at din. Then it would be able to undo the judgment. La'achar Shloshim Yom, if, however, the time expired, then Eino Soter, it would be too late. Samar Rabbi Shimon Magamli, or Rabbi Shimon Magamli says, Maya Aser Zesh Lo Matzah B'toch Shloshim, or Matzah L'Achar Shloshim. Rabbi Shimon Magamli says, look, that seems to be unfair. What can the person do that he wasn't able to find any proof within that 30-day time limit? But he indeed does find proof that says that he was in the right. Then the time limit shouldn't restrict him in any way. That's the opinion of Shimon Gamliel. Then Kati says the halacha follows him, that he would still be able to bring proof after the 30-day period. However, Amar lo, Beit Din said, prior to Gemar Din, it said, Have Edim. It says, do you have any witnesses? V'amar einli Edim, I do not have any. They said to him, Have Raya, can you bring any supporting documentation, a shtar, a contract? V'amar lo, einli Raya, I do not have it. Well, lachar zman, but then after they closed the case based on the fact that he didn't have any of the supporting evidence, lachar zman he was able to bring, or matzah edim, he brings witnesses, then, he, you know, there's a contract or witnesses, we say, hareze eino klum. According to the first opinion, well, that is nothing, meaning we completely reject the fact that the witnesses came after. Why? Because the concern, according to the first opinion, is that the fact that at the time of the case he said, I don't have any documentation, I don't have any witnesses, and now suddenly after the case is closed, a time later he was able to bring bring witnesses or bring documentation. The concern is that these witnesses are likely to be false, or it's likely the documentation was forged. That's a concern. However, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel again says, Maya says, what can this person do? Shelo haya yodea sheyesh lo edim, that at the time of the case he didn't realize that he had witnesses. Or matzar, he simply happened to find witnesses that are able to support his claim. Or lo haya yodea sheyesh lo rao, he didn't know he had a proof at his disposable, and he had learnt after the fact that he had it. So according to Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, it's not considered suspicious that after the case he'd be able to bring any further supporting proof or witnesses. However, in this case, it sounds like the way according to Kahati explains the halacha doesn't follow Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. What if at the time, says Amar lo, the Dayanim said during the case, before they close the case, Have Edim, bring witnesses. And he says, Einli Edim. The claimant said, I've got no witnesses. Have Raya, can you bring a proof? Amar lo, I don't have any Raya, I don't have any other say, documentation or something that can prove that I'm right. Ra'ash mitchaya bedin, and then this person saw that the case was not going his way. Va'amar, and he said, Kirvu ploni o ploni, come, so and so, and you and you, come and testify. Or he suddenly pulls out of his coat his belt, really. He pulls out a document. We say, Hareze eno klum, that it's considered nothing. Then even Rabbi Shimon Gamliel say it's nothing, because at the time of the case, we're in the middle of the case, and he initially says, he's got nothing, and then he pulls it out. There's real strong grounds to be concerned that this is a false, what he's presenting. Let's now begin the fourth parak. That when it comes to whether it's a financial case or it's a capital case, both cases require what's called drisha and chakira. We'll learn exactly what drisha and chakira is in the next parak, and that's basically two types of interrogation of the witnesses. As it says, how do we know that both are treated the same way? Because it says, Shene'emar mishpat echad yelachem, that there'll be one method of ruling or judgment that you apply for yourselves, meaning the Chazal understand for both all types of cases. What's interesting here, Chachamim said, well, that's true on a biblical level. They relax the requirement of drisha and chakira for financial matters. Why? Because if the bar is set so high, then it's likely, unfortunately, that many, many witnesses in financial cases will be considered invalid because they didn't know the details to the level that were required under this interrogation of drisha chakira. And if that's the case, again, once we come to the issue we mentioned a number of times, which is shelo tinal delet bifnei lavim, we want to ensure that financial transactions can continue, and on loans, because this is the way the economy can run. And this would potentially present a barrier that people will not want to lend money if there's a high rate of failures because the witnesses weren't of the particular knowledge of the case and he wouldn't be able to claim his money back. That's why they lowered the standard of drisha chakira in financial matters. So having just said that they're treated the same, the Mishnah continues, actually there are differences in dine mamonot and dine nefashot, that in meaning monetary cases and capital cases. And that's because specifically when it says, by capital cases is Vetzilu Haidata Rotzeach, that we're trying to endeavor to save someone from, well, here it's a murderer, but from being executed. So the, as a result of this, we'll see different differences. So first is Dine Mamot Bashlosha. First is, as we've already explained, that when it comes to monetary cases, there are three judges, and for capital cases, Vedina Namashot Asimvu Ushlosha, and there are 23 judges, as we learned in the first parak. Next, Dine Mamano Potrim Bein Biskud Bein Chova. When it comes to financial cases, when the dayanim, the judges, deliberate, the deliberation can work in either way, meaning you can present cases for or against the claimant, or the party being brought to trial. However, Dine Nafashot, when it comes to capital cases, you open first with potchim lizchut, with justifications of why he should be considered innocent, and you don't start by bringing arguments why he should be found guilty. The reason for that is that's based on back in Masechet Sotah, when we learned where it says in Parashat Sotah, where the Kohen would provide the curse to this woman. She'd be witnessed in seclusion with a man that was not her husband, and she was forewarned against being in seclusion with him. And then she's brought to Yerushalayim, and the Kohen would first start saying, Im lo shachav ishotach, that if you didn't in fact have an affair, and it continues, the Torah says, and you'll be, these mayim arim, these bitter waters will not affect you. So the opening is in her, if you like, defense, assuming she was innocent. So that's why we work with capital cases. Next, din and mamona, when it comes to monetary cases, matin al pilechad, that we go by majority in terms of how to rule in the case, bein zchut bechava, whether we're going to acquit the individual or find him guilty. V'din and afashot, when it comes to capital cases, matin al pilechad bebizchut, we've mentioned this previously, that when it comes to finding him innocent, it's sufficient with a majority of one. However, if you're going to find this individual guilty, al pi shnayim lechava, you need to be a majority of two, at least two, dayanim. Dine mamonot machzerim bein zchut bein lechava. When it comes to bnei mamonot, after the case has been closed, we can reopen the case on the basis of new evidence, whether it's to find the party guilty or innocent. However, dine nefashot, when it comes to capital cases, machzerim lezchut vein machzerim lechava. Meaning, if the person had been found guilty and we found subsequent evidence that would might acquit him, then we say, yes, we can reopen the case, but not the other way around. And that is because the pasuk says, "Midvar shechet tirchak ve'naki ve'tzadik al tarog." Naki and tzadik, you should not execute. So naki means someone who's been found guilty, but he's really naki, really mean. There's evidence to prove he's innocent. Let's bring him back. And what's tzadik? That's someone who the Beit Din has found as being termed in, as being a tzadik, shenitzadek bedin, that if he's found innocent and there's subsequent evidence, you don't bring him back. Dinei mamonot hakol melambim zchut lechova, meaning financial case. What does it mean, anyone? We've got dayanim. Well, as explained previously, when the dayanim would rule, there'd be rows of talmidim in front of them during the case. What it means is anyone can come up on the talmidim if they find a reason, an extra bit of justification that can present to the judges that could sway the case either way. Sure, they can do so. That's dine mamonot. However, dine nafashot, which is capital cases, hakol melamdim zchut im talmidim, can come present justification or reason why they think the party should be innocent. However, they keep quiet. Ein hakol melamdim chova. They cannot do so if they find a reason for him to be guilty. Dine mamonot hamelamed chova melamed zchut. If a dayan presents a reason why the party is guilty, he can follow up with that reason why he thinks he's innocent. The hamelamed zchut melamed chova, and it can also go the other way around. Dine nefashot, when it comes to capital cases, melamed chova melamed zchut. Someone who is presented, many of the dayanim has presented a reason why he should be found guilty, he can subsequently then present reasons why he should be innocent. However, it doesn't go the other way around. Meaning, if he's already presented a reason why he should be found innocent, then he cannot start changing his mind and start presenting reasons why he should be found guilty. That is because since he's already going on the trajectory of finding reasons why he's innocent, we want him to continue along that path. Importantly, this is only during the Masa Matan, meaning the deliberations between the judges. However, at the time of Gemar Din, where they're about to close the case, that's when they can start presenting, if they've presented reasons why he's innocent, to say why he's guilty again. Dine mamonot danin bayom v'gurim b'layla, when it comes to financial matters, they can start the case in the day and finish that night. However, dine nefashot has to all be completed during the day. However, it says as follows, Dine mamonot gomrim bayom bein beskut lechova, meaning a financial case can be closed on that same day, whether it's to find the party guilty or innocent. However, dine nefashot, when it comes to a capital case, then we say gomrim bo bayom lizchut or bayom lacharav lechova. You can finish the case on that day if you're going to find him innocent. However, if the Beit Din are going to find the individual guilty, they have to give it another night. They have to literally sleep on it. Well, they don't sleep. You'll see what happens. But they have to give it a bit more time. Perhaps they find a reason, some bit of logic they've missed, that would actually find this person acquitted. We'll learn exactly what happens in the coming Mishnayos, I think. Lefichach, ein danin lo be'erev Shabbos v'lo be'erev Yom Tov. That's why you cannot start a capital case on Erev Shabbos and Yom Tov. Why? Because they wouldn't be able to execute him on Shabbos and Yom Tov, and the person would have to wait another day. And with, this is called Inui Hadin, this is a person that potentially could be facing a capital punishment, and the judgment is being stretched out, or the close of the case is being stretched out, and that's considered painful, and we don't do that. The Gemara actually explains there's another reason. The reason why we don't start Erev Shabbos and Erev Yom Tov is because the concern is, since there's going to be a gap, you can only complete the judgment on Yom Rishon, on the Sunday, the Dayanim might forget in the meantime all the reasons and justifications that related to the case, despite the fact they can have scribes that can remind them of what they said. Consequently, we don't want to have that opportunity that they again might end up forgetting their rationale before closing the case when it comes to a capital case. Those are the Mishnah today.